Good evening. It seems like it's been a while since I've done this. Last week, Elder John Willis covered the Elder's Corner for me, and he did a phenomenal task. He talked about storms and the purpose of storms and the benefits of storms in life, and it was a blessing to hear Elder Willis's words on storms. As I've been thinking about what to talk about in tonight's Elder's Corner, we've just come through a presidential election, and as I've observed, this year has been not all that different from previous presidential elections. I've had a number of people through the years suggest that this candidate or that candidate, this president or that president, might be the Antichrist. Let me reassure you, our president, regardless of who he might be, regardless of the party with which he identifies, is not the Antichrist. The Bible is very clear with regard to who the Antichrist will be. The Bible is very clear with regard to the nationality of the Antichrist. But that raises the bigger question of the end times. The disciples in Jesus' day were curious. They were concerned about the end times. That curiosity, that concern, that anxiety has not diminished. Indeed, in our day, that anxiety, that concern, that curiosity seems to grow more and more intense with each passing year. I'm not sure whether this will be a series or this will be a one and done, but the reality is the Bible talks about the end of times. And if the Bible talks about it, then we need to talk about it. Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, then, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world? Jesus gave them a clue. They were walking with him, almost giving him a tour of the temple. This was Herod's temple, which was the same temple that was built back during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. Herod had just expanded upon that temple. This was a temple that took 46 years to build. They're touring the temple. They're marveling at the sights. And Jesus says the time's going to come when not one stone will be left upon another. And so when they get in by themselves, they say, Tell us, when is this going to be? What's going to be the sign of your coming? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So Jesus is painting this dark, this bleak picture. But in the midst of painting that dark, bleak picture, he gives hope. He says, those who endure to the end shall be saved. The end times are a time of sifting. The end times are a time of purging. The end times are a time in which the sheep are separated from the goats. And Jesus gives the hope. Those who endure to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Jesus gives another clue as to when it's going to come. When the gospel of the kingdom is preached unto the whole world, guess what? There are a lot of tribes and tongues and peoples who have not yet heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then let them which be in Jerusalem flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there be, leave it or not. There be, leave it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So there's going to be folks who come and say, the Christ is over here, the Christ is over there. There's going to be folks who rise up and refer to themselves as prophets. And Jesus says, don't believe it. There's going to be many false Christs. There's going to be many false prophets. And if it were possible, they would even deceive the elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall be eagles, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the man, sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think that the Son of Man cometh, as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler of all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. That they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for your lamps are gone out, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, No, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, and they that were ready went in, and with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling unto a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Jesus is tarrying. He has given each of his servants talents. Some 5, some 2, some 1. Some servants are putting those talents to work, investing those talents, and reaping a harvest. Others are simply burying those talents in the earth. And what comes next but judgment? And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Are those the words that you will hear when Jesus returns? Will you hear, Well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or will you hear what comes next? Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou wicked and slothful servant. May none of us participating in this broadcast hear those words. Lo, thou wicked and sloth servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have strewed not. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's the end of that unprofitable, slothful, wicked servant? Outer darkness. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in? Were naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also say unto him, answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee, and hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these all shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. I began tonight's broadcast with a simple remark, reflection, on our elections, and how so many Christians want to cast one candidate or another, one party or another, as the Antichrist. Now we read John's letter toward the end of the New Testament, and we see that there are many Antichrists. There is an Antichrist spirit that inhabits many. So, it could be that one candidate or another, one president or another, one party or another, is a lowercase a Antichrist. But there is going to only be one Antichrist with the title Antichrist, capital A. None of our politicians qualify for that capital A Antichrist, that official Antichrist. We do have a number of folks on the scene who are against Christ, who have the spirit of Antichrist. Part of the problem is that many who want to see the Antichrist in this candidate or that, this party or that, is that they hold to what's referred to as dispensational premillennial theology. There's a lot that goes into dispensational premillennial theology, and I could take hours and days and weeks defining that and fleshing that out. But really, it comes down to a bunker mentality. Those who hold to premillennial dispensational theology, those who hold to a premillennial dispensational view of eschatology, have a bunker mentality in which they just want to hide out until Jesus comes back, and it really puts a damper on evangelism. Now, I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. I hold to postmillennialism. Postmillennialism, in a nutshell, is the belief that the gospel will continue to be preached, and as the gospel continues to be preached, then Christ's kingdom increases in this earth. So as the gospel is preached, as men, women, and children hear the gospel, confess, repent, and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, Christ's kingdom is increased, Christ's kingdom is manifest, Christ's kingdom expands in the earth. And as we read in the 23rd and 24th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' return after that millennial period is when every people and nation and tribe and tongue has received, has heard the gospel. That hasn't happened yet. There are still a number of people groups who have not yet heard the gospel message. There are still a number of people groups who have not yet had the opportunity to confess and repent. Postmillennial theology, a postmillennial understanding of the end times, encourages evangelism. Because we recognize that it's the preaching of the gospel, of men, women, and children coming under the authority of the gospel that expands Christ's kingdom. Like I said, I may do an entire series on this, because we in this country have a poor understanding of the end times. We have a poor understanding of eschatology. We have a poor understanding of theology. Too many Christians want to limit theology to something that the scholars do, to something that pastors do when they're away at seminary. Theology isn't something that's relegated to the ivory tower. Theology isn't something that's relegated to the scholars. It's not relegated to seminary days. When you wake up in the morning and your feet hit the floor and you say that first prayer of the day, that is theology. Because you are acknowledging that Jesus is Lord over your day. You are placing yourself in dependence upon Him. That's theology. When you pray over your meal, that's theology. Because you're recognizing that He is the giver. That He is your provider. Jesus gave the clue as to when the end of times would come. Jesus gave the clue as to those last days. I shared yesterday morning with regard to how the Bible defines the last days. See, we always want to limit last days discussion to the last few years before Jesus comes back. But if you look at it biblically, the last days aren't just those last few years. The last days began in the time of Christ. Specifically with the death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father. Because all of human history is summed up in just two ages. You've got the Jewish age and you've got the Christian age. The Jewish age began with the creation and it runs through to 70 AD with the destruction of the temple. Jesus said what here in Matthew 24? See ye not all these things, referring to the temple. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. The end of the Jewish age is the destruction of the temple in AD 70 by Titus the Roman. So you've got the beginning of the Christian age, which begins at the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. You got back here the beginning of the Jewish age, which began with creation, runs through and actually overlaps with the Christian age. And so you've got the Christian age and the Jewish age running concurrently until AD 70 with the destruction of the temple. When Jesus is referring to the last days here in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, he's not talking about those final few years before his second coming. He's talking about the end of the Jewish age. Else, it wouldn't make sense about not one stone left being left upon another. What does it say? Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. When Jesus talks about the days of Noah, the days of Noah were a wicked time. The people of Noah's day had rejected their Creator. The people in this time between the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus and the destruction of Jerusalem was a wicked, debaucherous time. They had rejected their Messiah. A lot of dispensationalists want to point to verse 40, chapter 24. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. If you read it within context, it makes sense. But dispensationalists want to take that and they want to read into it that those who are taken are those who are gone up in the rapture. And they want to interpret those who are left as those who are left behind. But if you read chapter 24 and chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew in context, the taken is a negative thing and the left is a positive thing. Those who are taken are taken to destruction, are taken to outer darkness, are taken to judgment. Those who are left are those who've acknowledged Jesus as Lord, who have come to Him in confession and repentance. I won't take up too much more of your time. But I want to encourage you I want to encourage you to pray for our nation. Because I think hard times are coming for we as believers. Hard times are coming for our Lord's churches. What I do know is that even in the midst, especially in the midst of hard times, especially in the midst of persecution, the gospel is not hampered. It's been said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. You look at those nations in the world today in which the gospel is still illegal, and the Lord's churches are abounding. It's only here in the land of the free and the home of the brave that the Lord's churches are lax, that the Lord's churches are apathetic, that the Lord's churches have grown comfortable. And don't anticipate the Lord's return. Let's plan to look further into Matthew 24, 25 and coming days and weeks. Let's plan to look further at end times, at eschatology. As I said before, spoiler alert, I'm a postmillennialist. I believe that the return of the Lord Jesus happens after the 1,000-year millennium. There's not a secret coming followed by a second coming. There is one second coming, period. It comes after that millennial reign. If you want a great resource to utilize alongside of your Bible study on the end times, I highly encourage you to look up on YouTube An Evening of Eschatology. It's moderated by John Piper. In the discussion are Jim Hamilton of Kenwood Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky, presenting the historic premillennial position, which is distinct from the dispensational premillennial position. Sam Storms provides the viewpoint of the amillennials. And Doug Wilson does a fantastic job of outlining the postmillennial viewpoint. Watch that. It's only about 2 hours and 6 minutes. Read your Bibles. Use that only as a supplement. Don't use that as a replacement for your Bible. Get into your Word. And in the coming days, we will look further. And we will try to develop a biblical understanding of the end times. As I said before, I'm Stephen Mullins, preaching elder with Sovereign Grace Assembly in Versailles, Indiana. We are live via Facebook every Sunday morning at 10:30. If you'd like to join us in person, please message one of us and we will give you location and directions so that you can meet with us at 10:30 or come an hour earlier at 9:30. We have Sunday school. We're currently going through the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. Please continue to watch this Elder's Corner. Watch our Wednesday night Bible study, which is done Facebook Live by Elder John Willis. He's currently going through the Theophilus letters of Luke and Acts. Join us on Sunday morning. Until next time, go and serve your King.